Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fearfic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goo slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real-life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
So, DP, what you been up to lately? What you been thinking about? What you been considering? What's your life like?
I have been looking at... Have you heard of hentai?
No. Explain it to me.
When two comic book artists love each other very much.
Oh.
So I found this, I was browsing this hentai site, and I was like, hentai manga, like you actually read them,
mm-hmm.
and or I do. And I found one that looked cool with like a nice brown skin female boxer on the cover called All Okay, capital, exclamation point rather. And I'm like, okay, I can get into this. And so I get my setup ready. I get, you know, my lube out, my Ona hole, the panties I bought from a Japanese porn star to sniff, you know, mm-hmm. the whole shebang, yeah. And the first chapter is about women boxing each other and hitting each other in the abs. And then the second chapter is the same and so on. And eventually it ends with them just taking their tits out, but nothing else.
Hmm.
They just took their tits out.
Well, I'm sure that's somebody's fetish. I mean...
Well, okay. So I check the tags, and there is a tag called Riona. Riona. And I Google this. I hit up Bing to figure out what this means. Riona is a Japanese term for a sexual complex where a female character is... usually sexually, attacked or tortured by either a man or another female character. The term Riona comes from Ryonani, or a portmanteau of Ryoki, seeking the bizarre, and Onani, masturbation. So Riona is a fetish that revolves around victims, almost exclusively humanoid female beings, being physically assaulted or psychologically abused by an offender.
So,
and then they get their tits out.
Then they get their tits out.
So basically, Dead Palette, you're now officially one of the worst people on the internet for looking at this material.
Yep. I am okay with this fetish. I get it. Like, it's not for me. Well, obviously, like, the tits out, like, once the tits come out, it's like, okay, but like, but no, I get it. But my story gets weirder because I started going down this rabbit hole of like, okay, well, I need to find out more about this because it's just perplexing that this is enough to get people off.
Mm-hmm, sure, that's why, yeah.
Well, no, it's like foot fetish stuff, mm-hmm. where it's just like, oh, look at these feet, and I'm like, okay, well, are we going to, like, move to vaginas and dicks at some point? And it's like, no, just feet, you know? And it's just like, oh, that's just enough for some people. But I investigated more. This linked me to a Soul Calibur forum where I found a YouTube channel called Riona Ni TV that just uploads parts of video games where women are moaning from getting hurt.
Hmm.
The titles are as follows. Riona, then the Japanese character for Riona. Then I hear typing happening.
Oh, geez.
Someone wants to stay on top of this.
Abysme.
Insert female character's name, in trouble, insert number. So it'll be like Riona, then the Japanese character's Riona. Ivy gets in trouble, number 72. And it's just like tons of women getting beat up.
Jeez.
Okay.
And now here's where the fun comes in. Guess how many views are on this channel that you have never heard of?
2 million.
Like views per video or?
Views total on the channel.
12 million.
Ooh, that's weird, because we have the guess of 2 million,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the guess of 12 million,
uh-huh.
add those up, and you get your answer.
212 Damn. Million? My God.
14 million views.
Wow.
Guess how many subscribers they have?
275,000.
14,000.
Wow.
Yeah, because, that makes sense.
Because the people don't want you to know that they're subscribed to this channel. They don't want people looking through their box.
Right.
See, now, if we could go back to the story you read, it like, from one perspective, it doesn't even sound like a weird fetish. It just sounds like some dude's, like, fantasy about, yeah, I'm going to go watch two women box and shit. And then at the end of it, they get their tits out. Like, that's just like him playing God, kind of. Hmm. It doesn't even sound that strange until you put a label on it.
Well, okay. I should also mention that this channel was established before Obama took office.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. So what you're saying is that he made the channel while he was in office.
Before he was in office. Mr. Obama, why are we having this ladies' boxing match here?
God damn it. don't ruin this for me. Come on now. I mean, now we know why Michelle has those arms, yeah. She's been wailing on bitches. Been knocking people out.
The only thing that gets me off anymore.
Yep.
Well, you have to wait all 12 rounds for the tits to come out, which is kind of... That's a bit of a wait.
That's just self-control.
Then you have the women with the boxing cards, like the ring ladies going around.
Oh, yeah.
Holding up the numbers in between rounds, just getting you randier. It's only round three?
At the end of it, the last one just says, tits out.
Jeez. Yeah, the card is just like a drawing of tits that the girl's holding up.
No, it's like on one side it says round 12, and then as she's like walking around the ring, you see on the other side it says up next, tits.
There you go. Out next, tits. But yeah, so speaking of tits, I don't think we can read this story.
Yeah.
This story is literally about the Dark Knight Rises shooting.
This is the problem with Let's Not Meet. Surprise, we're trying to read Let's Not Meet stories. They run the gamut from actual real shit that's happened to people and clearly fictionalized stories, despite the fact that you're not allowed to post fiction in Let's Not Meet, but it happens all the time.
Well, I just want to real quick read the title of our story and then who it's by. I survived a mass shooting at a movie theater by Neon Pikachu.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't expect that Neon Pikachu was actually the legitimate real article, but if you look at the first comment, actually verified. So
yeah.
I looked down a couple sentences and I was like, Batman, and I was like, uh-oh. Uh-oh, Biscuitos! I don't know.
This is their top-rated story on Let's Not Meet.
Yeah.
Or Let's Not Meet.
I could say any number of things that would be way too offensive to say. So, yeah, do we want to, like, while we're recording, do we want to flip out and try to find something else to read, or do we want to recoup and delete this part except for the cold open?
Yeah, I am perfectly interested in reading this. I am fully expecting this to be tasteless in some or an extreme regard, but is this real?
Yeah, it is real. It is real. And I'm not sure how we could critique. It's like, oh, that part's not believable, but...
I also, like, want to point out that, narrators will read this shit for real to make money off of it, and it's kind of disgusting.
Yeah. Like, just straight up reading it, not even, like, as
Oh,
a,
yeah, no.
Yeah.
Corpse Husband fucking did a video on this back in 2016, and it's got over 500,000 views.
Wow.
So
what you're saying is we should do it for the views. Very clever of Izmi.
Very, very clever, I know.
Well, I'm trying to figure out then, like, okay, so how many of these are fake, and how many of them are real, and, like...
You don't know until you read them. That's the problem.
Well, I haven't read this, so how, like, do we know that this person was there? Because that's completely plausible that they were.
The first comment is from a moderator saying that the
person
verified
that you were there.
I don't know how, but...
You're a real person, yeah.
So we we wanted to read the top rated one, and this is the top rated one, and that looks like it's not going to happen. So what are we going to read then?
How about,
well, like, again though, what happens if we find one that's fake, one that's real? Like, it's such a conundrum to mix these things together.
I know. And I don't understand how people narrate this shit.
Then you've got No Sleep, where people have to pretend it's real, but everything's fake.
Yep.
I don't know. We should start a subreddit. Basically, what we would do
real
is...
Real fake stories.
Yeah, real fake stories. Tag your story. Use the flair. There's only two options, real or fake. Use it accordingly. But yeah, I linked something in the chat. I don't know. I just looked for something random quickly while you guys were talking.
Well, I do like this title. It's kind of a great title.
There's every chance that we'll get screwed over, though, by this being real.
Well, no, this not is on No Sleep. Sleep. No Sleep's full of
shit.
Oh,
this is on No Sleep? Yeah. What is this? So we're not even going to explore the...
Guys,
let's... Are you telling me we shouldn't check out I Told a Serial Killer to Fuck Off?
If it's long enough, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not very long.
God damn it.
I think we should take a look at this.
Actually, I think you can filter by...
I'm just picturing the story. It is long enough if you hold on to the U's and fuck you. Fuck you, I said. Alright. I like how it's censored in the title. In the URL.
Well, this is a Christian Minecraft
Fick server, off. So. Alright, I told a serial killer to F**k off by, yep, it's Kate. So Kate wrote this.
Well, also with that, the second and third most highest rated stories on Let's Not Meet, there's that, and then there's Creepy Dude in the Pharmacy with a Weird Fetish. I'm about that, so let's read that one too.
Are you sure that's not just you reading the, what is it, sexual abuse manga? Were you reading it in a pharmacy at the time?
No, don't ruin this. That's how it is in Japan. You go to the pharmacy, there's also just the hentai comics there, because they put them everywhere.
And what would be their favorite Overwatch ship?
The hentai's there, wrapped in plastic.
God damn it.
So the kids don't read it.
I see. I told the serial killer to fuck off.
I wasn't reading the hentai just to read the hentai.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
My girlfriend didn't believe that there was hentai with tentacles, and so I was just getting it to show her.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Of course, mm-hmm. Of course. I don't remember who said that, but I remember that.
I found a Let's Not Meet that is titled, Is he weird, or am I just really high? ?
We'll read them all. We'll do them all in one episode. No.
We can do these two together for sure.
They probably should start.
Okay. In 2006, I was a college student at ASU. I lived in an off-campus apartment on the ground floor, and it was a block off a major major street here in Phoenix called Baseline. These details are important.
Now, are you sure that the street was called Baseline and it wasn't Baseline?
No, we haven't gotten to the pharmacy story yet.
Abyss me.
In the summer of 2006, Phoenix, Arizona was plagued by two serial killers. One was the Phoenix Shooter, who ended up being a team of two guys randomly shooting people, and the other was the Baseline Killer, a rapist and murderer. Having two serial killers put the entire city on edge, and everyone was talking about it. I even saw articles in Time or Newsweek about the situation.
Do you think they were competing for, like, who was the most cool serial killer?
Possibly.
That sounds like the premise of this book that a guy I used to know wrote this book. You'll see what sort of quality it was when I get to the name of the character. It's about two serial killers having a competition across the United States to see who the best serial killer is. Main serial killer's name, Jack Zodiac. So, yeah. And that book has one of my favorite lines that I always think of whenever I'm thinking about something being written poorly. Best line in the entire book: he got up from the chair and angry. But yeah. So you read about it in Time or Newsweek. got these serial killers doing this. So the fall of 2006 semester had just started. So we're going through summer. We have the serial killers. In fall, the semester started. I got it. Now, you may have heard this, but Phoenix is hot in August.
No.
Who wouldn't be hot in August? It would get stuffy in my apartment, and so I'd leave the window cracked a little because the morning air is nice. The blinds provided visual cover.
One morning, a strange sound woke me up. It was the crack of dawn, 4:45 a.m., and the sun was just barely coming up. It was the sound of someone lightly tapping on the window, and it seemed intentional. In my tired state, I figured out it could be a bird or some branch or something trivial.
So, guys, I have a quick question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In this story titled, I Told a Serial Killer to Fuck Off, do we have any guesses about what might be at the window and what will happen?
It could be a bird with a branch in its beak that intends to use the branch to kill the lady.
Somebody, I guess, draw fan fiction of that now. I guess is that a killer? Is that an OC now? But yeah.
I don't know why I'm assuming this person's gender, but I'm assuming they're a lady.
Well, I think that's just latent sexism because you're like, oh, you know, somebody's just, you know, too stupid to go investigate. They have to send a man out to see who it is. I think that's why you're thinking that way.
Probably. Women like to get the shit beat out of them, and they take their tits out. That's what women do.
So, do you think, okay, this bird...
Okay. Nobody isolate that.
Okay. Momo-kun.
This bird at the window, do we think it's a tit? Is there a tit on the glass?
Orthonology jokes. Tap, 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 silence. After about 90 seconds of nothing, the tapping returned, and it was absolutely purposeful. I was positive it was a human producing this noise. I thought it was my boyfriend, who thought it was cute to try and scare me sometimes. I decided to be a bit of a brat and make him wait, but I was also getting really angry.
So, possibly female.
I lay down in bed and angry.
Angry.
God damn it. How dare he pull a prank when I'm trying to sleep? This is just like him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind about disturbing my sleep like this. Okay, we don't have to worry about this story being real. I'm just going to put that out there.
Why do you say that?
Well, the facts at the beginning may be true. I don't know. You know, there may have been two serial killers going around, or actually three, in 2006 in Arizona. But I don't necessarily believe someone would write a real account of what happened and write, quote-unquote, how dare he pull a prank when I'm trying to sleep? This is just like him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind about disturbing my sleep like this. I don't, you know, that doesn't ring true to me. I could be wrong.
I mean, it's,
yes or no.
It's difficult because the way Let's Not Meets are usually constructed is they don't get a lot of attention if they are just kind of matter of fact bullet points. So, and it's not like this person's embellishing. They are just purposefully rewording how they would express this, like, verbally differently on a page. That's my assumption here.
I'm trying to also find the most diplomatic way to navigate saying this, but I think there are people with less social graces who would phrase things that way.
Sure.
You ever meet people who just don't talk fucking right, and you're just like, what the... are you fucking alien? What is... it's kind of like a childish way of speaking, but I've definitely met adults who speak that way.
Mm-hmm.
Tap, tap, tap. At a certain point, I got up to get a glass of water, still being in the mindset of wanting to annoy my stupid boyfriend who thought this would be funny. Now that's getting weird, is like this character making the like absolute assumption that it's the boyfriend.
I thought it was weirder that at the crack of dawn in the morning, she's getting up to get a glass of water.
I mean, if she had been drinking last night, I could see it. But yeah, it is also, maybe, like, weird that she would assume her boyfriend is up at the crack of dawn. No college student fucking does that.
I mean, unless they pulled an all-nighter, in which case they didn't go to sleep.
True, but they're not like, well, I guess I'll go tap on my significant other's window.
When you got, like, a study boner, Like, you've been studying all the time, you haven't had time to jerk off. You need your girlfriend to, you know, get you a release.
You just, like, hang it through the window at her?
You just get one of those, like, those things that cut holes in glass.
Yeah.
And you go to the store and you're like, I need one of these glass cutting things, and they're just like, oh, how about this one? And then they give you a smaller one, and it's like, fuck you.
So did we just invent, I don't know, what would we call it, the glassy hole? Instead of the glory hole? I don't know.
The banging branch.
Hmm. Oh man.
We're overthinking this.
We are.
Banging Absolute Branch. Darkness. Banging Branch, by the way, is an excellent name for a gated community, but go ahead.
I was also thinking that Phoenix Shooter is a cool name for a finishing move as a wrestler.
I thought it was like a school shooter at Hogwarts, but you know.
Oh no.
Nobody draw fan art of that.
Wait, so if like Voldemort like kills someone at Hogwarts, is that like a school shooting? Because he is shooting like spells out of his wand.
Oh god. Does anybody else have deja vu about this conversation?
Yeah, a little bit.
Weird. Oh man. So who is it now?
You.
Me, okay. But I saw some movement through the slit in the blinds, and I marched over and yanked the blinds so I could see. And I'm taking this one too. Definitely not my boyfriend.
I said very loudly, what the fuck? He sort of seemed taken aback by my anger. I opened the blind and angry.
Yeah, and everything is end angry.
But only slightly.
He chimed in with, haven't you ever heard of closing your goddamn window?
Haven't you people ever heard of closing the goddamn blinds? No.
Some people like to drill holes in the windows to stick the dick through. The man I saw will be with me forever because we got married. Or more specifically, his eyes.
I immediately dumped my boyfriend.
I said, what the fuck? Get the fuck out of here. And he said, don't ruin this for me. Fucking shit.
And that man, 2 years later, became president.
Someone please confirm that Michelle Obama went to ASU.
Yeah, of course she did. I'm sure. I'm sure.
But his eyes and the feeling they gave me were insanely creepy. Mm. Honestly, words can't do justice to how terrifying his eyes were.
You could try. You could try to give words to what his eyes looked like. Were they sunken in? Were they bugging out? Were they different colors? Was one full of blood and the other full of tar? You know, what were they attached to stalks on top of his head?
Tar-eyed Jack.
Tar-eyed
oh,
Jack.
Boy, I just read the next sentence.
Oh, okay.
And it changes things.
They looked like... They looked
blorbs.
Like black orbs. Go ahead.
Blorbs.
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 They looked like black orbs with no white in them. Absolutely predatory. When I see
Absolute
pictures...
Absolute darkness, all that I see.
God damn it. No pupils. When I see pictures of Ted Bundy or Charles Manson, that's exactly what they looked like. They don't have eyes that are black orbs with no white in them, but okay.
No, they don't.
Even if you saw a picture of how they looked, it's different when you experience it in person. Oh, okay.
How would you know?
Yeah.
You didn't take a... Did you take a picture? Are we skipping ahead? Did this person take a picture and, like, compared the picture? It's just like, yeah, this doesn't capture the magic of these blorbs.
Oh, well. It totally floored me. Something about this man was profoundly wrong.
Wrong! He was crouched down like an umpire. Ooh, that's good language. Good simile. He had on dark pants, a dark purple shirt, and a dark Nike hat.
Can I ask you guys something off topic, sort of?
Sure.
I'm posting an image in the Skype chat. The image is of a private parking only tow zone sign. And you see the picture of the car being towed on the top?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that kind of look like Manson staring at you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lack of eyes.
Everybody out there, Google Google no Blurps. Parking sign and look for the one where it has a little image of a car being towed. It's Charles Manson looking at you. But anyway.
Oh, boy.
Crouch down so, like a vampire.
So if we got rid of this... if we got rid of this part where they're talking about the black orbs, the crouching down like an empire, he had dark pants on, dark purple shirt, and a dark Nike hat, and... I'm reading ahead the next sentence. It's all like actually describing it realistically, like what you would actually tell someone, what you would tell the police. This is information right. you would tell the police. But you this know. Like black orbs thing doesn't suit that. You and know,
it's out of left field.
It really is.
He had dark skin. I thought he was Hispanic. I immediately reported him to the Arizona sheriff. But later I found out he was a light-skinned black guy. You'll find out how I learned his name later.
Wait a what? Minute, was his name light-skinned black guy?
I thought he was Hispanic, so I reported him, and it turns out he wasn't Hispanic, but don't worry, guys, he was just a light-skinned black guy, so everything worked out.
I have an important announcement. Paprika just walked in and handed me an offer for a Capital One credit card.
Hmm. Are you going to take it?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're not affiliated or sponsored.
You're just gonna throw it back.
Capital One want to sponsor this podcast. Yeah. So that was a weird sentence.
This is me now, right?
And then Abysme and Paprika get married, and then on their wedding night, she just whispers in his ear, "I have something to tell you. I'm actually not Hispanic. I'm a light-skinned black guy."
Wasn't that a Yu-Gi-Oh card, by the way? Light-skinned black guy. Anyway.
And then Abysme stands up and angry.
Yes. But he's still lying down when he stands up and angry. Mm-hmm. Anyways, after I yelled, "What the fuck," at him, he whispers to me, "Can I talk to you?" Now, here, this begs the question, if a serial killer, I assume this is a serial killer, was tapping on your window all this time and being ignored, wouldn't he think there was probably, like, nobody home or something? Or I don't know.
Yeah.
If you want to know how insanely creepy that is to hear, just whisper that sentence out loud to yourself right now. Okay. "Can I talk to you?" Yeah, that's creepy. It still sends chills down my spine when I think of how that sounded. Can I talk to you? That's not...
I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to take something innocuous in a weird situation and make it sound, you know, menacing, but...
They could have just said, in the context, you know, and just kind of really quickly recount for us, this was the, you know, crack of dawn, I don't know who this person is, they're dressed in all black, and they're whispering to me. That would take people, you know, off guard. But yeah, again, the way this is phrased is just kind of put upon.
I've seen that in stories before where it's like, "Try this and you'll see," and it's like, you know, that thing people will say on the internet, like, "You're just now noticing that your tongue doesn't fit in your mouth properly."
Yeah.
Or, you know, "You are now breathing purposefully." And, you know, because people will consciously say, "Oh, wait, now I'm making myself breathe in and out. Oh, no." Or, you know, something like, "Look at your hand. Your fingers are just tiny arms." You know, like, you know, different things like that where they try to involve the reader. But for here, it's like, you know, if you do whisper that to yourself, I don't think it's going to end up sounding creepy. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe I'm wrong.
You know, I like to think that this person knocking on the window is just Sam from Clarissa Explains It All.
Of course. Of course. That makes sense.
His hand subtly moved towards his waist. I later learned he would blitz attack his victims and probably had a gun. All that separated us was a mesh screen.
Yeah, because if you had the window closed, the glass would have protected from the gun.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is about a 3-second interaction at this point. For some reason, I thought of Ted Bundy and how he'd pretend to be crippled to target his victims. Yes, I'm sure your thoughts were on Ted Bundy when this is going down at 4:45 in the morning.
Right.
I thought of my mom telling me not to be nice to strangers. Don't be afraid to be a bitch. My thinking wasn't as calculated as all that, but it was more the nano processing of how to deal with the situation.
This was back in 2006, before all college students were naturally bitches. What now? I'm sorry, where were we?
Like, is she a forensics major or something? Because, all the serial killer references, maybe, again, feel very put upon, as opposed to, I think about serial killers all the time.
That would have been such a good thing, I think, to, you know, make all of this tie together a bit would be, you know, I was studying, you know, criminal law or something, or I was...
Sure.
You know, whatever. So he whispered that. I started yelling at him. Hell no. Get the fuck out of here, douchebag.
I shut the window angrily and locked it. And anger. And I can't overemphasize how incredibly irritated I was that this person had the audacity to disturb my precious sleep.
Wait. Which one is it? Are you annoyed at them, or do you think they're going to kill you?
This is... I want this story to end with, that was when I realized I lived on the fifth floor. there was no, but they said the ground floor in the beginning, so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Fuck. I'm having trouble keeping track of when it's me for some reason.
That's abysmal.
Okay.
It's me now.
Good.
I laid back down and wondered if I'd been too mean. What if he needed help? But that didn't really make any sense. Why would he be, like, tapping and whispering if he was truly in trouble? I decided he was a creep after all. I was too annoyed to go back to sleep, but I sort of laid back down, angry. I imagine that this person is, like, Jeff the Killer's antithesis, or, like the final girl he could never kill, because, like, go to sleep. No, I'm too annoyed.
Right.
He just doesn't do it.
Don't tell me what to do or how to feel. See, if this title, if the title of the story wasn't, I told a serial killer to fuck off, then I would think, you know, maybe we're in for a twist. Maybe the guy at her window was someone who needed help because the serial killer, you know, was after him. And, you know, he was tapping on her window and whispering to her because somebody was outside.
Well, we know it can't be because, yeah, like, it's that he was a serial killer.
Right.
That's the, believe my story, it's
the
true.
The title, yeah.
Yeah.
I told my roommate, about it an hour later, and she sort of jokingly asked if it could have been the Baseline killer.
Oh, sorry about this yard. When she said that, my heart sank. His face looked exactly like it did in the police sketches that were on billboards everywhere.
But you remember Ted Bundy instead.
The only problem is that those billboards showed him with dreads, and the man at the window had no dreads.
No, what it
so
was...
So that obviously couldn't have been him.
All his dreads were tucked up into the Nike hat, which was like a foot off his head.
You gotta put the thinking emoji out there, you know, with like the finger and thumb to the chin.
Right.
Apparently he was some sort of disguise artist who'd wear wigs. Okay. Updating the police sketches would have been a nice move, but they didn't.
Oof.
A man with an obviously fake mohawk tapped on my window next and said, "Hey, can I help you?"
It's like the old sketch of like putting on a mustache to get another free sample.
A light-skinned black man who I thought was Hispanic with a beehive hairdo tapped on my window.
Ooh, I called the Phoenix police, and the detective I talked to agreed that it sounded like his M.O. The suspect would say something to throw off his target, and then he'd blitz attack. That's Pikachu's favorite move. The detective said that my angry response probably made me seem like too much of a hassle and... What?
Uh-huh.
What? Okay, and moved on. The only problem was that I thought the guy looked Hispanic, and the detective said many witnesses describe him as black.
Okay.
Many witnesses are racist as fuck.
7 out of 10 racists agree. he would say something to throw off his target. So, like, you know, you're walking down the street, you're at a bus stop, you're sitting there, this guy comes up to you and he goes, "Hey, my favorite Pokemon is Garurumon." And you're like, "Wait, hold on 1 second." Boom, he's got you. Because he confused you. Because Garurumon's not a Pokemon. Anyway, I thought they might want to come out and try for samples. you want to try some samples? Or surveillance video or something, but I didn't hear back from the detective. Okay. That's why there's no evidence.
Yeah, my parents freaked out. Then they got us knives, pepper spray, and put up signs. You know what you should have bought instead of knives or pepper spray. A gun.
I thought you were going to say a wig with reading. Threads.
Edit. Some people asked why I didn't get a gun. I can't remember why I didn't at the time, but I remember it being something I was open to when my dad brought it up.
Yeah, and you're in Arizona, so like it's real easy to get a gun there, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe you can't have them on college campuses. I don't know.
She's not on a college campus. She's off a college campus.
Face it, you're in America. It's easy to get a gun.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Arizona.
Lived in an off-campus apartment, ground floor.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. We learned another tenant had complained that same morning. I never learned the details, but this idiot was apparently going around the damn complex trying to find the target.
Okay, so whoever else they checked, I guess, was angry too. The stupid apartment wouldn't let us out of our lease, so we moved to a second floor apartment right above our old unit. Side note, the neighbors who moved into our old unit were horrible, obnoxious tweakers who would do meth and play Pitbull on repeat for hours and have knife fights at 11 a.m. on Wednesdays. There were times,
but Wednesdays works too.
Yeah, that's true.
So this was 2006. What fucking Pitbull song were they bumping in 2006?
Let's Google this.
Let's find out.
Because he's been around for forever, but
Pitbull's second studio album was released on October 30th, 2006. Four singles: Bojangles, A Chico, Dime, and Be Quiet.
Oh, you know what? They were probably Hispanic, and they were probably listening to Hispanic Pitbull, not Spanish Pitbull.
Okay.
You want to know the only thing more obnoxious than Pitbull in English? Is Pitbull in Spanish.
God damn it. Now I've completely lost where we were here.
Obnoxious tweakers.
Ah, yeah. There were times I wondered if they might be worse than the actual serial killer who came to my window. So, that unit was cursed somehow.
Or you just live in a shitty part of Arizona.
Why did she need to move?
She moved a floor up to not have people able to tap on her window, I guess.
Because they couldn't come to her door.
But, like, it's so silly, because, like, is there going to be, like, a repeat offense? Is the serial killer going to be like, oh, that's the one that got away?
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, on September 4th, 2006, never forget, they arrested Mark Goudeau. I think the detective didn't call me back because they were days away from arresting Goudeau.
Sure, the detective didn't call back because they were days away from arresting the guy who was freely roaming around your apartment, stabbing, you know, looking for people to stab or shoot or whatever. That's why. I mean, this may be a legitimate story. This may be something that really happened. I don't think so, though. I don't feel it.
When I saw his mugshot, I was sick but also relieved. He was absolutely the guy outside my window. To me, he looked like he could be Hispanic.
Oh, my God.
Go back to this point over and over again.
This is three times.
Not a racist. He looked Hispanic.
Now, listen. Not a racist. But that guy's Hispanic.
You can judge for yourself. I won't if you Google it.
He's on death row in Arizona now, looking Hispanic.
Well, that's cool if they signed him.
Say what?
The first person signed to death row who's Hispanic.
Oh, God. he has a diss track out about Pitbull.
Mark Goudeau featuring Pitbull.
Jesus Christ. His wife tried to mount some campaign to show that the police were framing him or something. On a personal level, it certainly would make for an interesting coincidence if this poor innocent man who they framed was also whispering like a creep and tapping on my window and looking Hispanic.
Oh, so that's what they're getting at.
So they think he was framed.
No. Because then they would say, was it a serial killer? Was it a meth dealer? Who knows?
Plus, the title of the story would be, I told a alleged framed serial killer to fuck off.
I may have been visited by the baseline killer, you know. Yeah, something like that.
The other cool thing about this story
cool
is
thing?
That
goddamn
cool?
What?
So check it out. The other cool thing, by the way, this is really hitting a lot of marks for me, because that same guy that wrote that book I told you about, he got up from the chair and angry.
Yeah.
Same guy would brag about the fact that his parents almost hired John Wayne Gacy for his birthday party. Yeah. So this is like hitting all the marks. The other cool thing is I could have been killed by John Wayne Gacy. Like,
isn't that cool?
No, actually.
Yeah, let me tell you, my parents, they love me. They almost hired John Wayne Gacy for my birthday party. We had a date set for my birthday when John Wayne Gacy would show up a place. You know, we told John Wayne Gacy the place, mm-hmm. so we would have the real deal of Evander Holyfield fucking place for John Wayne Gacy to show up. And I don't know where I'm going with this joke, but I think Slime Beast gets it. The other cool thing about this story...
I did, after you said, you hope I get it. The minute you said that, I was like, yes. Oh, okay, that's why.
Yes. The other cool thing about the story is I had a really bad eating disorder at the time, and about 8 months after this happened, I got in solid recovery. Wow. Compelling.
I found out that I loved Hispanic food.
So let me summarize this. We have a sentence, a sentence, comma, sentence to work with. So two sentences. I used to be an alcoholic. Now I'm not. The fuck does your eating disorder have to do with anything?
You know what's cool? I'm no longer an alcoholic.
Well, that's not true, Bisney.
I guess that is cool.
You're not allowed to say that.
I am currently drinking scotch.
I never would have experienced how wonderful life could be if the slightest thing would have changed that morning in 2006. Yes, the butterfly effect. Great.
I can't think of something more scary than a serial killer tapping on your window, being killed by one,
yeah.
or stalked down an alleyway.
A serial killer tapping on your forehead, maybe?
Yeah, with a knife or a gun or something. That actually happened to me, and if
shitting
it happens to you,
public.
Just scare them right back.
Oh,
wow,
God.
That's terrible advice. Don't be afraid to be downright rude to someone who's injecting themselves into your space. It could save your life if you're not afraid to throw your weight around.
Can I ask a question?
Let me just finish this.
Stop tapping on my window, slime beasts.
Fucking hell.
And tell someone off. Trust yourself. You can still be a kind and generous person, and then tell someone to fuck off.
So I just realized we were trying to read a story on Let's Not Meet. I accidentally linked us something on 2X chromosomes. That's just reminds me of the post on there where it's like, do not be afraid to tell people off in public, and like, yeah, well, that in that case, yes, but
this is not real.
It has two links at the bottom with articles about the real killer,
which great for that,
which begs the it begs the question, why would you write this if this is fake? Would you really, because you could just make a fictional story about a fictional character who is around when these killings are happening, and you could make a compelling account of, I almost got killed, I was
right.
One of the lucky ones. Why are you coming on this subreddit where people are asked to post their real life encounters, and you say you saw a dude who had no pupils?
I mean, it could be legitimately true. It
could be
embellished, but otherwise true. I don't know, but it seems not. I mean, one of the comments here from the author, yep, it's Kate, and it's competently written. It's not like trash or anything like that. It's not like anything where I'm going to completely shit on it, but I just don't think it's true. That's the only thing about it. One comment reply here says, I thought he was a maintenance worker with a crush or something. And it's like, no.
No.
You didn't think it was a maintenance worker with a crush on you, in my personal opinion, at least. I could be wrong.
I narrated one story from Let's Not Meet a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was utterly supernatural, which is against the rules, but that's why I thought it was just like a fictional storyboard, because it was just like basically someone's house was being haunted. And it wasn't until I started looking around more that I realized, oh, there's a big conflict of interest on this subreddit constantly.
Mm.
And it's like, they in the rules, they very clearly state what you're supposed to put here and what you're not supposed to put here. It just doesn't work. Because, like, how do you tell somebody, you know, oh, this allegedly tragic thing that happened to you, no, you're clearly lying. Or add enough proof, I guess. I don't know, man.
It's kind of an interesting thing because I am all for, as people will probably know, I'm all for creators' rights, and I'm all for writing without limits. I think that nobody should have to not write something because it's going to offend people or because it's going to do this, that, the other thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But in this kind of instance, I feel like because of the platform, that kind of shifts a little bit, because it's like that thing where you have, you know, that classic thing of you have free speech and you have freedom to do whatever, you know, on public property or in your own home. But when you're in somebody else's home or in somebody else's store, you know, you don't have freedom of speech and freedom to do what you want. They can throw you out for what, you know, for what you say. So yeah. I feel like this is
taking advantage.
Yeah, I feel like this is private property of, you know, people who want legitimate stories posted, you know, and I feel like, you know, I'm all for creative stuff. I'm all for making up a story related to a real serial killer if you want to.
It's not even the murkiness of something like, well, Reddit's banning this subreddit or something. This is a specific subreddit with specific rules even. Mm. And so it really is just like, we rented this room. Could you just respect those rules?
Right.
And it's weird too, because they have rules here about sexual assault and rape where you're not, and pedophilia, and you're not allowed to post stuff about those.
Hmm.
But you're allowed to post ones about stalking, and that gets kind of weird, because, like, okay.
Well, I mean, they said in this that he was a killer and rapist, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, this is supposed to be real life, so someone does get raped in the story, because people get raped in real life, but no one directly is getting raped in the story.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd, situation in total. Very odd.
But yeah. Yes.
So I would say, you know, competently written, I was interested in it, I don't believe it. If it wasn't presented as a real story, you know, like as a real event, I probably would be thinking a lot differently than I am right now. So it's kind of hard to, you can't really cork that bottle back up and put the genie back in. You know, I this is what I think of it now. But if it was done differently, I probably would think differently. I don't know.
It either needs to go one of two directions. It needs to be more realistic with some of the more fantastical elements stripped out and just use plain language, make it a police report, or lean into the supernatural and it's half pregnant on that, you know?
Right.
This runs into the problem of true scary stories who put, you know, multiple times throughout their story, this is a true scary story, and you automatically assume, okay, it's clearly not. You're just clickbaiting. And I remember there's a YouTube narrator channel out there called Darkness Prevails, who accepts pretty much anything and will clearly and blatantly feature stories about encounters with mythological creatures.
Yeah.
And says, well, they're alleging it. It's up to everyone else to decide.
Like, right.
Fuck you. What? At least Let's Not Meet goes at least some semblance of trying to verify if these stories are true or not.
Right. I think,
like, that's just lazy.
I think that story that we passed over about the Dark Knight Rises shooting, and my reason for passing over that, you know, is just the idea that it's going to be really, really hard to critique something and say you think about it when it's from an actual person who, you know, legitimately was there and shot at. You know,
you can't...
if it's ambiguous, you can sort of try to figure it out along the way, you know, that type of thing. But
Even then, there's a line, at least that I have. It's like, well, do I really believe this person's account of getting horribly raped? I don't feel comfortable doing that. This isn't art that's being reviewed. This is someone's account of something.
Right.
And it's not hard to, like, when we looked one paragraph into the fucking movie theater shooting story, like, okay, well, no, this is This is very different.
You know, there's still every possibility that the movie theater one is fake, because, like, who the fuck are these people verifying that it's real?
That's true. I mean, they've had...
And so that's some advice right there, is if you're trying to write something that is real life and is horror, and let's say that you want to write a story that does involve rape, how would you tell that story? How would you tell someone in real life that that awful thing happened to you, and then you need to put yourself in that scenario if you're a lucky person who hasn't gone through that. You have to put yourself in that scenario to write that. And then it will automatically take on that gravity of being real if you're not injecting bullshit into it.
Yeah, if you're not making like a flippant kind of thing about it, yeah.
And so I think that there's every possibility that the movie shooter one was fake. We just didn't give it a chance to shit the bed.
Maybe. I mean, they've had AMAs that were faked, and they, you know, were quote-unquote verified. So, I mean, something on a much less notable subreddit than the Ask Me Anything subreddit, you know.
Now listen, I'm Obama. You may ask me anything.
Oh, man. Obama, you know, do you think that healthcare reform was a failure, or do you think that it was a success? Don't ruin this AMA for me. Come on now, ask me a softball question.
Not here to talk
question.
About that. Here to talk about lady boxing.
Lady boxing. God damn it.
Ask me anything, as long as it pertains to lady boxing.
Yeah. Sometimes I have Sasha and Malia fight each other. Whoever
for
wins gets a Sunday.
Whoever wins gets to be vice president for a day.
God damn it.
Joe Biden is just in the corner doing nothing and sitting down.
Uncle Joe don't mind.
God.
What is my life?
I want to read Creepy Dude in the Pharmacy with a Weird Fetish real quick. It's only four paragraphs. Five.
All right.
This happened to me about 10 years ago when I was in my early 30s. I was standing in line at the local pharmacy to get my prescriptions. This is a small town, and I am a regular there, so they know me on sight. I was behind a couple of people in line, and there were a couple of people behind me. Plain language, this is how you would tell this to a police officer or a therapist or whatever, you know?
Yeah. That sounds about right. Do you want to link us to the story? Or?
I fucking already did.
When?
Just relinking.
Where did you link it? I don't see it.
You didn't. I just did it.
God damn it.
Fuck. I kept feeling a tickle in my hair in the back of my head, but every time I looked behind me, the guy there was a few steps back and looking at the floor. This happened several times by the time I was at the front of the line. The pharmacist told me she wanted to talk to me about my medication in the consultation room they had at the time, since converted to a bathroom. Oh, good. Guess no more consultations.
Nope.
I thought this was weird because we both knew I had been on this medication for years and would be for life. Nothing new.
This is shaping up pretty cool.
It must be Viagra?
Mm-hmm.
I like the person in line behind me tapped me on my left shoulder, and I looked to my left, but then when they did that, they jumped to the right and dabbed.
God damn it. I thought to myself, how did they know I was a hater? I get back to the room and close the door, and she comes in from the door at the other side and leads from the pharmacy. That leads from the pharmacy. So it's two doors, one side from the pharmacy, one side from the outside. I gotcha.
Okay.
She told me that the man behind me had been stepping forward, sticking his nose in my hair, and smelling, before stepping back and looking at the floor. So that's the tickle on the back of her head. Or his head, maybe? I don't know. This shook me pretty badly, as this is such weird behavior, especially in my little town. Plus, plot twist, I'm bald. Dun-dun-dun.
No, they only have hair on the small of their neck.
Yeah.
Everything else is shaved. It's like one of those fallout haircuts.
There you go.
The pharmacy staff insisted on having me wait there until the guy was distracted by another pharmacy employee, and they would have security guard walk me to my car and watch me drive off to make sure I was gone before Hair Sniffer Capital came out and saw what I was driving and what direction I was going. I still use this pharmacy and some of... I'll just polish this off. I still use that pharmacy and some of the same people still work there. I will always be grateful that they took the initiative to make sure I was safe that day. So this one seems... Yeah, this one seems real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, what was he supposed to do? He had a runny nose, you know? He was at the pharmacy to take care of it. Had to blow his nose somewhere.
There's no Kleenex around. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, that... This is like, this is the kind of horror story I like. It doesn't need to be all big and bombastic, but right. This feels real, even if it's not. It's got that air to it.
And this story would be ruined, completely ruined, if the person said, I looked back at him and he was looking at the floor. I caught sight of his eyes, which were all black. You know, like, that makes it where you're like, oh, okay, never mind, not real. You know?
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Pallet, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Hello, I'm Cam Hurlington, and this is a day in the life of Elias the Intern. Elias wakes up at 5:30 a.m. in accordance with Mormon doctrine. He replaces the previous night's magical Mormon underwear with a fresh pair. He then puts in his contacts, puts on a white polo shirt and khaki cargo pants. The extra pockets allow him to carry many blades, so he's able to let a rip whenever he wants. Elias believes this to be the definition of concealed carry. He then goes downstairs to eat breakfast with his parents. Typically, he eats some Cheerios or Total, but today he's having an exotic ethnic breakfast, a plain bagel and a few apple slices. While eating, he watches the Weather Channel. He's not allowed to watch the local news, as it can sometimes get very graphic. And since it's not a school day, Elias can watch some wholesome Canadian cartoons funded by Butch Hartman. With Elias's day looking up, he heads out to the Utah branch FearFic recording and editing studio. Since no one else uses this studio but Elias, we've decked it out especially for him. The walls are all neutral colors as to not give him a migraine. We have a wooden table designed specifically to the USA Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament specifications, and we even installed a greenhouse to sun warm his ginger ale. Elias sits down to edit the main FearFic podcast on his Leapfrog LeapPad. His parents made it clear they didn't want him unfettered access to Bing.com, so this was the only way to be sure of that. After an 8-hour shift of constant editing, Elias will have about 20 minutes of podcast edited. We're hoping that upgrading his LeapPad Platinum to a LeapPad Ultimate will speed things up in the near future. Elias clocks out and catches a bus to a local comic book shop without his parents' permission. He spends his whole intern check on Yu-Gi-Oh cards so his parents don't know it's a paid internship. Elias goes home, eats a hearty meal of mac and cheese, and is tucked in by 7:45 p.m. Good night, Elias the Intern. I've been Cam Hurlington, narrator and hobbyist Mormon watcher.
Hey everybody, do you like things that are a little bit too spooky? Come to TooSpooky.com. It's a forum where you can post your stories and get critique and beat a lot of spam bots.
A critique. You're only allowed to have one critique. One critique per customer.
Exactly. This, give the coupon code FUCKYOM for a free critique from TooSpooky.com. But yeah.
Yeah, and then you also show up and then please support our website.
Visit our Patreon. It doesn't exist, but it will by the time this is posted.
Dude, it won't. We're too lazy to even ask people to give us money. Hey, do you like Japan? You like the anime? Well, there's this other stuff called Japanese films. It's like anime, but it's like humans, and they're all PD 3D pig disgusting. There's this channel called Cinema Nippon where they look at channels from channels. They look at channels. They look at
they look at the English channel.
They look at the Tokyo Broadcasting. So they look at Japanese films and analyze them from all different time periods. And they do so in a really cool, objective way. Like, they'll look at people with all kinds of disparate political opinions and just kind of, like, give you insight into their world instead of imposing theirs on it and just being their interpretation. You should really check them out. I would highly recommend their video on the subject of Sonatine, which is a cool film by Beat Takeshi. Yeah.
Cinema Nippon. All the culture, none of the appropriation.
Damn, yeah, no, that's solid. I got nothing after that.